Whew, well, that was a struggle, Madison.
It's almost like we haven't done a podcast before. I was having a hard time setting up my microphone, getting the levels all straight.
She was making a lot of this noise.
I was taking a cue from my kids.
That noise.
But we chose to not let you hear that because we love you.
Well, you are going to hear that I just made, just so you know.
But you won't have to hear me do it.
There's also a leaf blower, so hopefully that leaf blower is done. But if it comes back,
oh well. You'll just have to deal with it like we do. Sorry.
This is Be Createful, a podcast about how we find fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today, on episode 50, we're talking about how it's the 50th episode. We're talking about the podcast, really.
Yeah. So, it's a celebration.
Yeah. This episode can kick, stretch. It might even have a red jumpsuit on.
What?
Do you know what I'm referencing?
There's a
SNL skit where a lady comes in a red tracksuit and she goes, I'm 50. I can kick, stretch, and kick. And it's just her being
okay,
talking about all of the things you can do, still do at 50.
Gotcha. I thought that it was in reference to me saying this was a celebration.
Oh.
And then I thought,
well, she's celebrating too. She's celebrating.
No, I know, but you were referring to 50.
Yes.
And I was referring to celebration, and I didn't know what red jumpsuits and kicking and stretching had to do with celebrating. That was my confusion.
We can make them about celebrating.
Oh my gosh.
We can have matching red tracksuits.
Okay. After 50 episodes.
All right. After 50 episodes, what were you going to say, Joe?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I feel like still the hardest part is getting started.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I'm ready for it. I'm here. I've got my warm cup of whatever. And I'm ready to go. I just get excited sometimes.
Oh, no, I don't mean like starting, like pressing play, but I mean transitioning into what the episode is about.
Oh, yeah.
It can be awkward.
Transitions are always hard.
At the beginning, you would always try to make a segue from one thing to another, too. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I said, you don't have to do that.
And these days, now I can just say random things like reference a very old SNL skit and we just roll with it.
I think we've gotten way more laid back.
I think that is to our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to be anything other than ourselves.
No. Our friend Katie just listened to all the episodes within a matter of a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be interesting to get her. We should have invited her.
Yeah.
Because we haven't gone back and listened to them. So
I've only gone back and listened to a few. On 2x speed, which we sound way better that way.
Right. You went, but not in preparation for this, just in general.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I was editing them, and so I was listening to them.
Yes.
But you have to listen at regular speed when you edit.
And you were listening to parts over and over again. I would hear them coming out from your door, and I was like, oh, yeah, that part.
Yeah. Well, here, I want to tell you a way you have improved. You used to say, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten better at that.
Well, when there's a microphone in front of your face, you have to get used to that.
So what is one thing you've learned besides not saying
Oh, specifically related to the podcast?
Maybe. Yeah. Well, in the amount of time it's taken us to do 50 episodes. So yes, in the last 50 episodes, what have you learned?
I have learned that I still say I've learned that I watch my words, like, I just watch my words more now.
That's similar to something I've learned because I think I have learned to be a better listener.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, even in the first few episodes, I wanted so badly for there to be a good flow and I didn't want any dead space. And so I was just trying to make sure I always knew what I was going to say next and I wasn't listening to you very much. I think I've gotten better at that.
I think so too. I've also had to learn how to interrupt as well, because I love listening, and so I would let you talk for a while, and then you're like, Madison, you need to ask me questions, because otherwise it's just long stretches of you talking,
because I'll interrupt you to ask you a question.
Yes. So I've learned to do that a little bit more.
Well, and specifically in regards to the podcast, not necessarily in conversation, maybe you don't need to just interrupt people, but it does help our conversation to flow a little bit better when we do that, because otherwise we end up saying the same thing over and over and over.
Oh, we used to ramble so much.
I think we still ramble, but it's more interesting.
What was it? We would like circle the topic. It would just, we've gotten a lot better.
Another thing that I've learned is that it's okay to put things out that are not completely polished and edited and perfect.
What do you remember what episode we stopped editing at?
It was, I think, around this time last year when we did the episode on the business of being tired or something. Like, because we were going to do it on maybe creating with kids or something. And then we were so exhausted with putting out our first round of craft kits. And so we just talked about being tired.
And we just didn't bother editing
it. And I said, I'm not going to edit this. And then everyone said it was fine. And I thought, oh, well, then I'm done with that. Because it was taking me several hours a week to, I mean, probably at least three.
Yeah.
If we talk for an hour, it probably would take me between 2 and 3 hours to edit it. And we're not getting, we don't get paid for this. Like, we don't get any income from this.
Yes.
So it was not a good use of my time.
No. Now you get to spend your time designing cool things on the computer. Cool new things for the website.
Yeah. And like teaching classes and doing QuickBooks, paying Madison.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. More time for that, please.
Yeah.
Well, what was your favorite episode? Just kind of in general.
Okay. I don't know if I have a favorite because it's hard to remember them all or even remember exactly what we talked about. But so, I will remember the first one that I thought, oh, I think we had a really good conversation, and it was the one on the steps of the creative process. I think that's around like episode 11.
Yeah, possibly. I have my old notebook here. I might be able to put it up for you.
But that was the first one that I thought, ooh, I think we did a really good job. I've enjoyed the ones we've done about myths of creativity, a lot of those that were kind of not the very beginning ones that we did, but a little bit later on.
It's like we were hitting our stride. We still had a lot of good planning going on.
Yeah. And there's still several times where after we're done, I'll think, oh, I think that was a good one. Versus sometimes I'm like, oh, I wasn't really feeling it today. So that has more to do with how I feel in the midst of our conversation than how the episode actually sounds on the opposite side. Because I don't know if when people are listening, if they can tell which times I would think were good and which ones weren't, you know?
Yeah, I would argue that they probably don't.
Yeah.
Because being in a conversation is a lot different than listening to it. I'd be interested to hear what other people's favorite episode was. That would be cool. My favorite episode that at least sticks out is episode 21, which is Creative Obsessions, which was, I think, just after our New Year episode.
Okay.
And it was the one we had to re-record. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that first conversation we had, I was like, we are on fire. This was great. I enjoyed doing it. I love that topic because we're such obsessive people. And then we had to re-record it, which is probably why it sticks in my brain.
Well, and that was tough because we did like the way that the first one felt. And then we had to go back and do it again, like try to recreate the magic.
I know. So that's why that one sticks out. It's an episode that only we will ever experience. I'm sorry, y'all, but
That's when we were recording in your office because it gets cold. So we'll probably be back there soon, probably. Like in January.
Oh, I'm going to clean that up then.
Yeah, you better.
I gotta make space. So
isn't that such a good analogy for the new year? Like cleaning up, making space for the things that you want moving forward.
Are you trying to transition into talking about what we're doing? Because we just cleaned off the calendar last night.
Oh yeah, we did the calendar for. This is a different episode. We're talking about
put a pin in this.
Yeah,
we'll get to that episode later.
Okay, so you just asked me my favorite.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the most difficult episode for you?
That one would be competition and creativity, because I had to competition is not inherent in me.
You're not competitive?
No. At least not in a way that, I don't know. Go back to that episode and hear me talk about my version of competition. But I had to go and like watch some of Ink Masters I could understand where you were coming from. And I was
because we were talking in general about creative competitions. Like, yes. Are they good for creativity or not?
Yeah.
And then we kind of parlayed that to the everyday folk.
Yes.
And just being competitive in general.
So I found that difficult because it's not something that's really a part of my creative mm-hmm. process. It might slowly become part of my creative process if I start getting into like cosplay competitions, who knows?
Oh yeah.
But that was difficult. And then the other one I found difficult to make was episode 33, which is Death of the Author. I had lots of strong feelings, which you can go back and listen to. But I had a hard time really expressing all of the ideas and feelings that I had about that topic. I wrote a ton about it and did a lot of research. But I felt like I had a hard time communicating to you or helping you to understand why I felt so strongly about that topic.
It also was a topic that was a little bit more heady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was something you could write a college paper on or like a thesis.
Yes.
So it was one of the ones we were trying to take kind of a more scholastic or like academic concept and talk about it casually.
Yeah. Which those are the kinds of conversations I do have with people. It's not one that comes out naturally here at Make Do, typically.
Mm-hmm. So. You know what's interesting about that one, though, is in the teen class a few weeks ago, we were talking about Death of the Author because they were talking about if there's an author that you love their books, but then you don't respect them or their point of view or things that they say as an author, then do you cancel them?
Yes, which we do touch on. I think we do touch on that a little bit. And just recently today, I was watching a video that included talking about how long gone are the days of you listening or enjoying something without, you know, just free and clear, without having to think about the author
right,
or creator.
Because now it's so the creator, it's their job to like be themselves, to promote their stuff.
Yes.
Like, we're so much more aware of the creator than we have been in the past.
Yeah.
The most difficult episode for me, I think, was the one we did on social tension.
That was a hard balance to keep. What did you find difficult about it?
I think I just was feeling, one, it was a very socially tense time. We recorded that in November of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to be able to articulate, like, I want Make Do to be a place where everyone feels like they can show up and be themselves, but also everyone needs to feel comfortable here. And that's hard. Sometimes me being myself makes someone else uncomfortable.
As someone with purple hair, I can confirm.
Right. Well, I mean, I have tattoos. So like sometimes just existing makes someone else feel uncomfortable. So then what? I don't know. I felt like I was trying to hold a lot in the conversation and be both kind and generous, but also
telling other people you need to be kind and generous too.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a tough one.
It was. Because our space, we want it to be comfortable and enjoyable for everyone. However, some people find their safe places only in places where they find people that are just like them.
Right. And maybe this is how I want to say it. My priority when it comes to is this a safe place for person A or person B?
Mm-hmm.
My priority is that this is a safe place for people who might not feel like they have a safe place elsewhere.
Yes.
Like me as a straight white woman, I feel safe pretty much everywhere I go. So, of course, I want everyone to feel comfortable here. But if people also have safe places elsewhere, I will always use this space to protect people that don't.
That have limited access.
Yeah. And it's, I'm not saying that from any sort of experience of us having some sort of clash at Make Do.
No.
But just in what I was trying to get across in that episode, maybe.
Yeah, that was, that episode held a lot. And I mean, we could probably go back and talk even more about that topic. It was just so much to try and fit into one episode. All right. So let's see. You talked about, we talked about ones that were too, that were really difficult to make. Which episode did you learn the most from?
Oh, like prepping?
It could be prepping. It could be after you had the conversation, you learned something. Any of that. If you need time to think,
I don't
can
know.
Go.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, for me, that was episode 20, which is our New Year episode.
You're doing so good because you have episode numbers and everything.
I was trying. So yeah, episode 20 was our New Year episode. We talked about things we wanted to do, and that episode on its own didn't really teach me a lot. It was the fallout of trying to implement those things in my life.
Mm.
I discovered that I'm the kind of person that puts a lot of these big lofty ideas on themselves. And then when it comes time to execute them, it really frays my nerves.
Yeah.
One of them was mending Mondays. Back when I was taking Mondays off, I would spend that time working through my mending stash to the point where it was like to the detriment of my day off.
Right.
It felt like work.
Right. Well, then we talked about that later then.
Yes. In episode 24, we talked about when it's okay to quit. And so I had to unlearn some of the things I thought I was learning in episode 20. So just having the progression of this podcast has taught me a lot about myself, my habits, and things like that.
Yeah. So. Ask the, how did you phrase the question? Which one has taught me the most?
Yes. Which episode did you learn the most from?
I don't know that I can answer that, but what I can say is the episodes that we've done on perfection. And I think because perfection just kind of keeps coming up as a theme throughout our talking about this, I think that's what one of the things I get the most out of in our conversation is the times where I can remind myself, oh yeah, perfection holds no value. That is not the goal, because it always is a goal for me. I don't want it. It's like a sneaky goal that keeps coming back in. I don't even want to call it a goal. It's like a lie that keeps hiding itself among the goals. And I'm like, good goal, bad lie. Get out.
Oh my goodness. It kind of got me thinking about, okay, well that seems to be a theme that is brought up a lot for you. Looking back, I think a lot of mine is how I, like, my need for approval from others and how my creativity suffers because of that. And I mean, in our episode on gratitude, which was episode episode 46. I talked about having grace, and it just really hit home that, like, that is the thing that I need to learn from this podcast. Is having grace in my creativity.
Well, okay, so you're talking about needing approval from other people. I think that my desire for perfection is also rooted in wanting, maybe not approval, but wanting to be impressive.
Yeah, like you want to be the best. And for
Did y'all know that? If you didn't.
Joe wants to be the best. And I want people to look at my thing and be, I guess, have like be amazed or just to be like, wow, that's so lovely or that's so,
yeah,
whatever.
I can tell you something that has helped me practice not needing to be the best or like the forefront.
Yeah.
And that is watching you run the kids program.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because so yesterday we had our holiday shindig for our kids, and Madison just invited kids who had come to what, like more than one class at Make Do this past year. And we had just over 20 kids show up, and I didn't know a lot of them. And I don't know their parents. I don't know them. I think they know who I am because I'm like here sometimes when they're
here. You're the lady that brings me Sonic.
Yes. But like I had honestly have nothing to do with that program, and it's all you. And so I just step back and watch you do it. And it's good for me to not have to be the reason that that program is good. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah. Thank you for being excellent at your job.
Well, thank you. I'm going to try. I'm trying to accept that compliment and not twist it. Because in my brain, when I receive approval from other people, I will say things like, oh, they don't really mean it, or they have some ulterior motive. But that's not true. You're just giving me a genuine compliment, and I'm just going to take that biscuit.
Right.
I actually had a discussion with a parent last night about just taking people's approval mm-hmm. and just as it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take that as it is. Keep it in my heart.
I wouldn't say it publicly like this if it wasn't true.
That I can certainly count on for sure.
Also, I think you would know if I was not happy with you.
You would tell me. Mm-hmm. That is the beautiful thing about Jo, is that she is direct, and that if you are concerned that there's something going on between you and her, you'll know. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to like guess or anything.
I'll bring it up.
Yeah, it's good.
In time.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about what episode did we learn the most from.
Oh, yeah. And so perfection. That's what led to that. Okay.
Yes. I can't remember. Did I ask that question?
Yeah. I didn't know how to answer it. So that was what did we learn the most from?
Which episode did we learn the most from? Yep.
Okay. What is the hardest part about recording the podcast?
The hardest part about recording? Do you have?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Mine is just organizing my thoughts. I thought that it was going to be coming up with topics, because at the beginning when people were saying, y'all should do a podcast. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. But what are we going to talk about? And when we started, we had a list of maybe 10 to 15 topics that we thought, and here we are like 50 episodes in and we're still,
we have a whole backlog to talk about topics.
Right. So coming up with the topic isn't the hard part, but sometimes it's fleshing that topic out. Or a lot of times we'll say on a Monday, what do you want to talk about this week? And one of us will say something and we have a little mini conversation about it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, yeah, this will be good. And then when it comes time to actually thinking about it, I'm like, wait, what?
It's so funny. It's like the little piece of magic that we have in those mini conversations. Mm-hmm. We want it to then happen mm-hmm. in the podcast. But sometimes that spontaneity is just hard to capture.
I think that could be why, going back to the very beginning of this, it's hard for us to actually start talking about the topic.
Yes, because we're not excited about it.
Oh, we're trying to just, okay, keep going till we manufacture the spark.
Yeah. Which, in long-term relationships, is how you do it. Mm-hmm. We're making this work, Jo.
Yeah, we are.
Together.
Because we communicate.
Love it. So the hardest thing about...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say trying to communicate my thoughts. I hope that I've become a better communicator because of this podcast, but I have a sneaking suspicion that I don't. I have a lot of thoughts that run through my head, and to me, they make sense and they're all connected. Mm. But then when trying to put words to them and explain them to somebody else can be really tough. Ooh, like when we decide on a topic, we have that mini conversation. Uh-huh. We're like, ooh, yes. And then we write our things down, come together, and realize we were talking about two different things.
Yeah. Okay, do you have one that sticks out where that happened?
It's the Seasons episode.
The Seasons of Creativity.
Yes.
That was episode, I don't remember what. It was like last year when we had snow or something.
Yeah.
I took it one way, and Madison took it like a completely different way. And it was a minute before we realized we were having two different conversations.
Well, in like last episode, I was talking, I tend to be very relational. And so a lot of my tips have to do with other people and relationally, how does creativity work? But last time we were talking about how, Jo, you have a hard time understanding where I'm coming from because it's not expressed in a like logical, more practical way. And so we're like 50 episodes in and I'm just now understanding that.
Well, but I think that's relatable. Because isn't that the whole problem with communication, right, in general, or why miscommunication happens? It's because people are coming from two different sides of the elephant or whatever. Yes.
What? Two different sides of the elephant?
You know the analogy where someone, well, rats, now I don't remember.
Oh, wait, is it like the
where people are blindfolded and touching an elephant and they're like describing what it is.
Oh, like this is like a tree or this is like a paintbrush or whatever.
Right. And then, but really they're describing the same thing. They're just touching different parts of the elephant.
Okay.
And creativity is the elephant, obviously. And we're the blind women just trying to describe how we're experiencing it.
I love that. That's cool. Yeah. So that's what's most difficult for me is trying to communicate my ideas in a way that you and hopefully our listeners can understand.
Well, I think we've gotten better at helping each other, asking questions to help that person find a way to articulate it to where they understand it.
Indeed. I agree.
You know, it's hard too when other podcasts, you hear everything that they say sounds so smart.
Yes.
And I think, good grief. Well, a lot of those people have editors and they're editing out the parts that sound dumb and making them sound smart. But also, I think that people think that we sound smart.
Well, when something comes out of a device where you're used to hearing like platinum artists and then we come out of those speakers, I bet we sound pretty good, don't
we? Especially at 2x speed, y'all. If you're thinking, really? People think they sound smart. Just make us faster.
Trust me, it works. That's what I told the kids who are on our podcast. They're like, oh, this felt kind of cringy. I said, listen to it at 2x speed. You'll sound so much better.
It's your turn to ask me a question.
I'm all out.
Oh, okay. I have some more.
Okay.
What's your favorite part about recording?
Does the hot beverage count?
Sure.
That's not true.
But you can have a hot beverage anytime.
My favorite part is getting to understand you better.
Oh, that's nice. My favorite part's the microphone.
Well, how often in a boss-employee relationship do you get to have an in-depth conversation with your employer? Like, that very rarely happens. Mm-hmm. And I have the unique opportunity to do that here. And it's so valuable to me. And I'll touch on this a little bit. Well, I might touch on this later or now. That part of the reason why I find this podcast so valuable is because when we don't have this, I feel like there's something missing. Like, I need it in other places.
Yeah. I don't ever, I guess this is the luxury of being the boss, but I'm not always holding that in my mind, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times I forget, oh, wait, I'm the boss. This doesn't have to be like a collaborative decision on some things. But on the podcast from the beginning, I never wanted it to be that way. And hopefully when people are listening, they're not hearing that dynamic.
But again, just getting to know you as a person has been so interesting to me. And I've really enjoyed going through how you think and getting the tips and experience from someone who's been creating for a lot longer than I have.
Yeah. In some ways.
In some ways.
Well, and also just because I'm older.
Yes. You've had a lot
more. I've been around longer.
Yeah. You've experienced things that I've never experienced. Yeah. So I get to gain some wisdom from you.
Yeah. So this might be similar then. And maybe this is why my answer was so shallow, the microphone. Because a follow-up question is, what do you get out of this? Like, why do you enjoy doing it? Yeah. And you kind of just answered that. Kinda. But is there anything you would add?
It helps me to better understand myself as well.
I would, on top of that, say it helps me be able to articulate MakeDo's mission. And what does it mean to be createful? Because that's the whole thing, finding fullness through creativity, right? And how do we do that? And so I think that it has helped me be a little bit more prepared to respond to people in class when they're struggling with things that we know people are going to struggle with, like perfection or imposter syndrome or being a beginner. Well, we've talked about that. Yeah, we talk about it
for at least 45 minutes each on each topic.
Yeah.
Having, again, being able to revisit those topics and then be able to share the wisdom that we gain from each other with our students is great.
Well, and it provides me with a place to choose to be vulnerable and be authentic about the things that I struggle with that feels like genuine. Because I think in class, if I tell people, oh, it's not going to be perfect, look, I make mistakes too, sometimes that can not necessarily seem real Or like, I'm just trying to make them feel better. Like you said, if when someone gives you a compliment, you think, oh, they don't really mm-hmm. mean it. But this is a place where we can share real time struggles that we're having, or like ways that I personally am experiencing imposter syndrome or whatever.
I think that's why it's important to have creative friends, or at least friends that you do some sort of creative something with, because you not only share your feelings about the creative process, but you get to process yourself as well. It's a safe place because you and I trust each other. We're both teachers here. We both mm-hmm. know what it's like to try to explain or try to pull people out of their creative slump. But we can also be here and be like, yeah, we both feel that too sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a list of our top 10 episodes. You want to hear them?
Oh, so these are like the number stats. Uh-huh. All right.
So we'll go like number 10.
Okay.
And this is surprising because I thought it would kind of be like all the first ones, you know, based on how long they've been out. But yeah. It's a real mix. Okay. So number 10 was episode 3, How to Be a Good Beginner.
Oh, cool.
And just with a few more listens than that, number 9 is episode 36, Finding Value from Within.
Ooh, you said episode 30. I'm trying to remember that one. I guess finding your value within yourself versus finding
it. The show notes said something, or like the description was like, you know, I am finding it from like being perfect, and you said approval, like mm-hmm. just, you know, but finding it from not from external things. Okay. The 8th most listened to was episode 9, Creativity as a Therapeutic Outlet.
Is that the one with
that's
Stephanie?
One with Stephanie.
Oh, that's a good one.
A good one to listen to while you color your coloring book.
Yes. I listened to that one back. That's one of the few that I actually
listened
to.
Because you weren't here for the conversation.
Yeah. That was cool.
Episode 4, The Problem with Perfect.
Oh, yep. There's perfection coming up again.
Okay. The 6th most listened to was episode 7, Creativity and Social Tension.
That has been a popular one.
Well, and so it's not even in the middle, but it kind of is because a lot of these are just within like one or two plays of each other.
Yeah.
And then episode 28, Embracing Identity with Meredith. It's the first part of our conversation with Meredith.
Those were really fun to have the three of us talking mm-hmm. together.
So all of those, however many that was I just mentioned, they are within like 10 listens of each other. So it's very close together. Okay, so the 4th one, this is then a kind of a big jump, about 20 listens or so.
Oh, okay.
Is episode 2, You Gotta Start Somewhere.
Yeah.
The 3rd most listened to was episode 39, Give Me a Break, The Importance of Taking Time Off.
Really?
Uh-huh, that's the most surprising to me.
Yeah, because
that one popped up.
We were both like, there's no way we're going to be able to continue this throughout the summer. Let's just talk about.
Well, it's strange too, just because of where it fell. Yeah. Like you would think if people listened to it, it would be because they were kind of listening to them all in a row. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but I don't always listen to stuff all in a row. Like no. I go, if I find a new podcast, I'll like just look through the topics and pick one that I want to listen to. So maybe that topic was appealing to people. The 2nd most listened to episode is episode 27, Dealing with Imposter Syndrome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something that a lot of people struggle with. So I could
and I'm like, maybe I need to re-listen to that. What did we say?
I hope it was good.
Oh, well, I mean, like, I'm sure we did sound good, but like maybe I need to listen to what we said, like relearn for myself. Okay. Yeah. And then the most listened to is the 1st one.
Yeah.
A Grateful Introduction. So, that first one has 214 listens.
Excellent.
And then the 10th one has 124. I know that our average listeners per week is about like 70. Mm-hmm. It fluctuates. So I share those numbers just because I think in my mind, when we first started, I was thinking it would be like so much bigger.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But I always like to put it in the perspective of if you had 70 people in a room and you all knew that all of them listened to you, isn't that impressive? And
well, I think, right.
Yeah, that totally is.
Yeah, that 70 people keep listening to us.
That's awesome.
And we don't know who they are. We know who a few of them are, but we don't know
my mom,
all
my dad.
70. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, yes. Kim. Hi, Katie.
Yeah. We appreciate y'all. Oh, my I found out my sister's been listening to us. I had no idea. She goes, yeah, I mainly listen to you on, I guess, on car rides or something like that. And she goes, it's like I get to spend time with you.
Oh.
I was like, ah, that's so sweet. Oh.
Let's talk about at the beginning when we were thinking about starting the podcast. What were your goals or motivation to do it at the beginning?
I loved podcasts, and so I wanted to give back and add to what all the other sort of podcast content that was out there. I've always been the person who my mom would call hold court, where there would be a group of friends around me or just even a group of acquaintances who I would talk to and who I would try to impart wisdom to. So this was kind of like a natural thing for me to step into.
Yeah.
And it felt useful, too.
Right.
So,
and in a way easier than the YouTube videos we were doing.
Yes.
Because we're not having to mess with, even though those first few, we did record video.
We did. It's just hard to sync up the sound and the video.
And then when I was like, because I was editing. And I was like, I don't want to have to edit all this. So then we just never used the video. I think my motivation at the beginning was because it was in the depths of COVID and we weren't getting to have conversations with people in the studio. And so it was just a way for us to get to have some of those conversations. And you and I were really starting to spend a lot of time together and have conversations.
Yeah, we would have a lot of deep conversations for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Most of them that ended with, and this is why creativity is important.
Yes, exactly. And that's when we started thinking, maybe
there's something here.
Yeah.
So what about now? Would you say that your goals for continuing are still so you have an avenue to hold court?
Yes. And, without it, there's something that goes missing with us. So this summer I was super busy with kids stuff. And so we took a break from the podcast and I just felt really disconnected with you. We just didn't seem to be on the same page. And so when we came back together in August, we still weren't, but I was done with classes. I was trying to get ready for a few other classes we were going to do in the fall. And I just was like, oh, something's off. And then when you said, hey, do you want to start doing the podcast again? I was like, oh, that's what it is. Having these almost like mini mission meetings is kind of what it is important to our work culture here. Uh-huh. So that's part of why I want to continue to do this.
Yeah. So every week when we do it, do you look forward to it?
I do.
Okay. Sometimes I'm like, oh, we have to record. Not that I don't want to have the conversation, but it's the whole process that we go through getting it out. I also have to sit and think about what I want to say. And a lot of times I haven't. And so sometimes it feels like something that is interrupting my work week.
This is going to sound weird, but it's kind of like a religious thing, almost like a ritual that at the end of each week, we sit down, we take time to ponder the deeper things of why we're here. Mm-hmm. And although we don't want to do it or we don't feel like we have time, we find so much value in it after it's all said and done.
Yeah. Maybe it's because we record on Fridays. And then, so sometimes I'm like, this is my last day to get stuff done. Mm-hmm. Or if we have classes that night, or I don't know, sometimes it might just be the time that we're trying to do it. As soon as we get started, I always enjoy it.
Yeah.
But and then because I have to remember to upload it, to actually go through, the 20 minutes that it takes me to get it on my computer and then edit like the beginning and the end,
put the music in,
and then upload it. So
what about your goals for it now?
Why do I still do it?
Yeah.
I think because I want to keep having the conversations, obviously between us, but also pushing myself to keep thinking about creativity. Like you said, it's like a mini strategic planning session. Like it just helps remind us of what our mission is. And so I think that it always helps me see my blind spots when it comes to creativity or the things I keep getting hung up on, like, let me say it again, perfectionism mm-hmm. or whatever. And so I think it's just good practice to kind of keep moving forward or keep playing around in these waters that we swim in.
It's some nice water. It's warm.
Yeah, most of the time. And when it's not warm out here in the deep end, we go to the shallow end in Madison's office.
Yeah.
And also, I think one of my goals now is just to know it's okay for us to repeat ourselves.
Yes.
Because sometimes I think, well, how are we going to keep saying something new when we can't even remember what we've said? What if we've already said that? And so it's just a practical reminder to me that it doesn't have to be something new or novel.
Because nothing is new under the sun.
No, and unless you're Katie and have just binge listened to all of our episodes, most likely people who listen to us each week or, you know, a few at a time aren't going to remember what we talked about a year ago.
Well, and what we think may change. Like I was talking about with... Yeah.
You think what we think is going to change?
I mean, we even had a whole episode about changing your mind.
Okay, true.
Yeah. So we may change our minds down the road. And the cool thing is that... our listeners get to come along with us on that journey.
Mm-hmm. I think that's part of though what makes it seem so, at times, if you really think about it, it can almost be keep you from saying anything
mm-hmm.
because, you know, people could take us, what we say, out of context, or maybe we don't explain ourselves well, or it's just a soundbite that someone pulls out and it's not what we were actually trying to say. And, you know, a lot of times I forget... we're having this conversation right now in the moment with just each other.
Yep.
And even though we're always still thinking about you, the listener, because we'll try to explain if we think we're talking about something that people might not be, you know, then we'll try to explain. So we do keep you in mind, but also it's just us looking at each other. And so sometimes I forget that other people are listening.
Yeah. You can be fooled. Well, and I think that's a good reminder that most conversations don't happen in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. There's always people that are, one, listening, or two, your conversations have impacts, have an impact on the people that are around you.
Mm-hmm. And beyond this present time.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
So that seems like kind of takes the words out of my mouth.
We're swimming in these deep waters. I'm cool with it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I'm glad that these conversations that we have and the conversations that I hope you are having at home, wherever you are, about creativity do impact this world for the better.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got distracted because I was trying to come up with an analogy for, like, you know, if you're in deep waters and you have to pee a little.
Aren't you supposed to pee in your wetsuit?
Yeah, it warms you up.
Yeah, there you go.
So sometimes you just got to let it all out, y'all. I don't know what the analogy is when it comes to the podcast.
It's somewhere in there.
Yeah. Do you have any other general thoughts regarding the podcast?
No, not really. That was a lot of what I was thinking about was just how impactful this is to me and how other people have mentioned that it has impacted them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so glad that we get to continue to do this.
Yeah. And, you know, thinking about what our motivations are or why do we keep going, it is nice to know people listen, obviously.
Oh, yes.
And it is really nice when people send us a text or a message or write a review and say, I just need you to know, thank you so much for doing this, because it does help motivate us to keep going when we know that people are expecting it, you know, that's helpful.
It gives me motivation because it feels like what I'm doing isn't just running in place.
Right.
It's gaining traction with somebody.
And there's no one watching us and making sure we do our job. Well, you kind of have someone watching you.
I do.
It's me. But I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if I'm like, whatever, then I'm like that with you too. I'm like, oh, whatever you want to do. But having someone rely on you or having an expectation that we show up to work is helpful.
I would flip that and say it's nice you know, when people miss you, mm-hmm. when you're a valuable part of someone's life.
Even though when I forgot to upload a couple weeks ago, when it didn't come out on Monday, no one told us.
It's okay. It's all good.
Yeah. But I can't believe your dad didn't tell us.
Oh, I know. Yeah, my parents pretty much listen like when it comes out. Uh-huh.
That's how we know when I make an editing mistake and like don't move the music or it doesn't all get recorded. That's how I know I need to fix it.
Maybe he was busy that day. Who knows?
Oh, well, that's fine. Everyone is entitled to taking a break.
Yeah.
But he needs to know that it is his job and we do expect him to show up at first thing Monday morning.
Oh my goodness. When this drops, my phone's going to blow up with like, oh, I have a job with the podcast now.
Hmm. You might be home when this drops.
Oh, that's true. I forget. We're recording a lot of these in advance. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to think about podcast time.
Yeah, we're recording twice in 1 week this week and next week.
Oh my goodness. Look at us go.
Okay. So, you know, we like to end with tips.
Yeah.
And this was a lot about us like talking about ourselves. So this isn't going to be a tips to start a podcast and get to 50. But I thought what would kind of relate would be to provide tips for doing a passion project, because this really did start for us as a passion project, as an extension of the work we do at Make Do.
Mm-hmm.
So here are tips for navigating a passion project.
All right.
I only have two.
I wrote down one, but I think I can come up with another one or so.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
Then don't let your passion project take more time than it's giving, or take more time, not time, but don't let, let me start, say
okay.
that again.
Okay.
Okay. Don't let your passion project take more than it's giving. For example,
okay.
At the beginning, when I was spending hours editing this podcast, it was taking way more from me than we were getting from it.
Mm-hmm.
And by saying, you know what, I'm not going to spend these hours, we're not going to edit it, we're just going to put it out as it is, then that brought it back in balance. Like, we do get something from recording this.
Yes. As we have just described at length.
Yes. We get a lot from having these conversations and from pursuing this project, but I was like,
you were spending a lot of time on it that could have been better spent elsewhere.
Yes. So I was emptying myself out in ways that were not being replenished through the project.
Yes. My tip goes along with that. Keep it simple, silly, which is one we talked about last time, is don't put all these expectations on your passion project. Don't make it your second job. Like, don't treat it. Yeah. Put it in its place. Understand that it is a passion project. And make sure that whatever you are putting into it, you are not, like you were saying, not totally depleting yourself.
Unless you are doing it because you want it to become something bigger.
That was the caveat that I wanted to add to this, where it's like, if my goal with this passion project is to learn how to be a better podcaster, or a better YouTuber, a better, you know, whatever the thing that is that you're doing, then sure, put more into it if that's what you want. But if your passion project happens to be making ceramic mushrooms out of vases and upside down bowls, like don't put more into it than what it needs to than what it needs to be.
Right. Well, in the words of the lazy genius, name what matters.
Yes.
And then that's how you know how much time to be giving it. Because it could be you want to transition to a full-time podcast, well, then that's going to require a lot of you at the beginning. Like, you do have to put in a lot of work that's not going to be coming back to you. Okay, my second tip is to just do it.
Just start?
Yeah. Take a break when you get overwhelmed and then pick it back up.
I love that. Oh, I was just thinking about, the thought has escaped me.
Shucks. I like that you said that. I usually say, oh, rats.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So just start. Oh, yeah. Like with our awkward transitions, you don't need a weird transition to get into your passion project. Just like leap in.
Uh-huh.
The water's fine.
Right. Well, and even if it's not so.
Pee.
Yeah, make warm it warmer. Yourself up. There we go. There's the analogy.
There it is.
If you're uncomfortable, just pee.
Oh my goodness.
Just warm yourself up. As a thank you to listening to our podcast, we announced this on the episode that you heard last week, yes. But you can use the code BECREATEFULPOD. Createful has two L's, y'all. I know, it's weird, but...
But it's because it's full. It needs right. the two L's.
Yeah, but so does grateful.
Yeah,
like
but...
all the words need the two
but
L's.
But Joe, here at Make Do, we're extra. We need the extra L.
Right.
Okay,
I just saw a meme. It said, it was like, am I extra or are you basic?
Oh.
Yep, to both. Okay. Be Createful Pod as a coupon code will save you, get you 15% off on craft kits, coloring book, and apparel.
Excellent.
Through the end of the year.
That's so exciting. I could spend my extra Christmas money on make do swag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we'll keep reminding you about that.
Excellent.
And we appreciate that you listen to us. But we're not done.
We do.
What's your sweet?
Oh, my sweet is that last night I got one of the most sweetest and most special gifts ever. So I'm just going to tell a little story here. When I was in kindergarten, my teacher had a...
I would like to see a picture of kindergarten Madison. I bet you were so cute.
I may have to text my mom, see if she can send me one. My kindergarten teacher... brought out this African violet, and we were going to learn about plants. And we were all crowded around a desk. And because we were all crowded around the desk where it was sitting on, it shook. And so I told all of my classmates, stop, you're scaring the plant.
Oh.
So at the end of the year, the teacher let me take the African violet home. And it lived for a really long time on my parents' windowsill. Last night, one of my students gave me an African violet. Hmm. She had no idea about the story. I was just so shocked, and it was just so touched that I could like relive those lovely kindergarten moments that as a teacher, I had impacted someone enough to give me a plant. Like just all of the feels wrapped up in that one little gift.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Do you think your kindergarten teacher listens to our podcast?
I bet she doesn't. I don't even know where she is right now.
Did you see the video of Adele when Emma Thompson... Adele is like singing at something. I don't know where it's from. Mm-hmm. And Emma Thompson is asking Adele a question. So Adele is on stage. And Emma Thompson says, who is someone who has impacted you? And Adele starts talking about like her... some teacher she had like in high school.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the lady's there and she comes up on stage and Adele is like, starts crying and gets, she's like, how are you? Can I have your number? Like to her teacher in front of everyone. That's very sweet.
You know,
I'm just thinking of one of those moments with your kindergarten teacher listening to our podcast.
This may be a catalyst for me to go back and email all of the teachers that have really impacted me. Cause there's so many of them that I would love to tell them what I'm doing, but I don't know. It kind of feels weird.
Maybe,
but
we could send them a coloring book.
That could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, so what's your sweet?
My sweet was just the holiday shindig that we had last night.
Dude, it was great. We had so many cookies.
And I was looking at the picture of, you know, we took a group picture with you and I just was seeing the range of ages that we had represented and how many boys were there.
Yes. That was my goal for this year. Yeah. And I believe I've accomplished it.
Yes. So there are other ways that we can bring in like different populations because they were all white faces that we saw.
Yes.
But I just still looking back at a year ago, those boys wouldn't have been there.
Mm-mm.
And a year ago, we probably also wouldn't have had the teens.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I'm so thankful for what we have.
I loved seeing them all together.
Yeah.
What's your sour?
My sour is that I don't really like the dress that I'm wearing today.
You wear it a lot.
I do wear it a lot. It is a 1950s house coat pattern. It's comfy. I think I just don't like the color.
Oh.
I don't think burgundy is really my jam. And so I was like, oh, maybe I should make a new one. I'm just not really feeling it. And I thought I could just dye it. So because I've been dyeing fabric, I dyed it for I dyed fabric for my cosplay, so I thought, I could just overdye this. That way I don't have to go and, like, make something new.
I will say I like the color on you, but not with your hair that color.
Oh, yeah. I was also thinking about when I had this with my blonde hair, and I was like, I still didn't feel it then.
Mm.
I really wanted the blue version of this fabric, but they just didn't have enough.
Mm.
So, it may get over dyed into like a deep purple or a deep blue to give it a purpley kind of.
How do you make sure the dye gets like in the pockets and stuff?
Like
how do you make sure it gets dyed evenly?
You have to mix it a lot, like a big, like a witch over a cauldron. You're like sitting there mixing it with a wooden spoon.
Are you going to wear a witch shirt when you do that?
Oh my goodness.
You should. It'll probably make it turn out good.
Oh, it'll add some like little extra magic, I guess.
I didn't write down a sour because I thought surely I would come up with one because in the last episode we recorded, I had several just in the midst of the conversation.
What about, you were showing me some shoes earlier that you were interested in getting, but they didn't have the color that you wanted.
Oh, they didn't have the style, but that's not really a sour.
Okay.
It wasn't very disappointing because then I didn't have to spend the money. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
It was kind of, I'm kind of glad they didn't have what I wanted.
Because then you just get to pocket
then I'm
that
like,
for
whatever.
Okay.
I hadn't budgeted for that, so I would have talked myself into spending money. That I didn't have. So that's kind of a sweet.
Okay, that is good.
But a sour, I don't really know. I don't know. I don't have one.
Okay.
I think when this comes out, this episode, it might be my birthday week.
Oh.
I think.
Maybe. Well, it's the week of Christmas, right?
Yeah. Is that when this is coming out?
I'm trying to remember.
I'm looking it up real quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
My birthday is on 2 days.
Oh,
that's my new suite.
What do you like to normally do on your birthday?
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I think if no one celebrated your birthday, you would care.
No. I think as an adult, it's your job to celebrate yourself.
Okay.
And like if you want other people to be amped up about your birthday, you need to be.
You have to be your hype man.
You need to bring that up in them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell me about.
Okay. So we always have my birthday Eve.
Yes.
Which if you listen to this the day it comes out, my birthday Eve is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then we have my birthday.
Yep.
I've only not been home on my birthday 3 times in my life.
And one was last year.
One was last year.
Yeah.
So Madison will be here in the studio all alone.
I'm used to it at this point. I've got lots of gnomes to keep me company.
But I will be at home.
Yes.
So birthday Eve and then my birthday, which is December 22nd.
All right.
And so probably we will go eat at Grimaldi's, which is my favorite restaurant ever in the world. And it's just brick oven pizza, but I love it. And then, so that's my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a day off.
Yep.
Everyone, the 23rd, take a day off. And then we have Christmas Eve
mm-hmm.
and Christmas Day.
Yay.
The day off, the 23rd, we call that Christmas Adam.
Oh, because there's a Christmas Eve.
Because Adam came before Eve. So really, the day you listen to this is my birthday, Adam.
Joe's family has this habit of like naming things. It's so funny to me. Days, parts, motorcycles, cars. Yeah.
Well, do you not name your car?
Not always.
What do you mean not always?
Well, I don't know. Like my Durango was called the Red Hot Chili Pepper, but I don't really.
You don't call it that? Well, because that really name is too complicated. That.
Yeah. So maybe when I get a new car, I'll name it.
My car has a name.
Oh, yeah. Remind me of your car's name.
Gretchen.
Gretchen. That's right. Yeah. But.
Yeah. It's just more fun to name things. I don't name, like, obviously Pip has a name, but the things at my house don't necessarily have a name because it's just me living there.
Yeah.
Well, me and Pip. I guess I could, like, name the couch or whatever and be like, yeah, go sit on whatever the couch's name is.
Oh, my goodness.
Cynthia.
Cynthia the couch. Christmas Adam.
Right. I don't think my family came up with that.
So let us know if,
do you
call it Christmas
Adam? Do you honor Christmas Adam?
Because I sure don't.
Well, you should.
No, I'm all about that Christmas Eve.
Well, yeah, that's more important. So, well, we're rambling now.
Yeah.
But happy birthday week to myself.
Yes, enjoy
Let me hype myself up.
Yeah.
Hype you up to celebrate my birthday.
Enjoy your pizza. I'll be jealous.
Oh, I will. I will enjoy it. So, do we want to sing a song to tell the people goodbye?
I'll sing this song. It's my birthday week. Let's celebrate me and then celebrate Jesus. Happy birthday. Merry Christmas. Love. Make do. Jo's had a lot of practice with singing because she's been singing to her niece a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let you do it from now on.
Okay.
That's yours.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.